If you've never heard this show before, this episode is going to feel a little bit different. The basic idea of the show is to use CISO, the streaming comedy service, as a jumping-off point to tell stories about comedy, life, and creativity, things like that. Sometimes the connection is obvious, like when we're talking to the cast and creators of bajillion-dollar properties. And other times, the connection is more obscure. But the hope is always that the shows connect with the same audience that would watch a show on CISO, the sort of self-described comedy nerd, left-brain comedy fans. So with that in mind, we wanted to put together a live show. We called it a live podcast and variety show. We hosted it at the Hollywood Improv, and we featured both stand-up and improv. Some of the performers have been on CISO shows, and others I'm just a fan of and thought they would appeal to the same audience. So while this episode may be on the loosely connected side of things, I think you'll still enjoy. And as I just mentioned, we recorded this show live at the Hollywood Improv on May 2nd, 2016. The show started with a performance by Liquid Feet, who, they're very visual, they're a dance team. So unfortunately, they're not going to be included in this episode. But if you ever see Liquid Feet performing near you, I can't recommend seeing them enough. After Liquid Feet's performance, I came to the stage to introduce some of my favorite improvisers from UCB. This night, these improvisers performed a particular style of improv, where someone on stage, me, tells a true story about their life. And that story becomes the basis of the improv scenes they then create. And those scenes lead to other scenes, and so on, and so on, and so on. Often when you see this type of improv, The storyteller will come back up later in the night to tell another story to then inspire more improv scenes. But in this case, our improvisers use the stand-up performances given to build new scenes. And throughout the night, they just kept on adding and adding and adding, and it was a lot of fun. So enough of me talking here up front. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Thank you all so much for coming out tonight. We're going to have a great show. And I thought since it's our first ever live podcast and variety show, I would tell a story of my first ever live performance. But first, I'd like to welcome to the stage Anne Lane, Josh Covet, and James Maestrioni of the UCB Herald team, Outside Dog. They're going to be doing improv throughout the show, starting first based off this story I'm going to tell, and they're just going to add to it. If anything interesting from any of the comedians and other performers happens, they're going to use that to inform their improv. So this is the story of my first ever live performance. So I grew up in Orange County in a very conservative family, very religious, very Christian. So naturally, I wanted to be a punk rock star because nothing says anti-establishment like a Christian conservative upbringing. But to make matters worse, I wanted to be Christian punk, which just seems like those two words shouldn't go together. Basically, I wanted to be MXPX. And my parents were concerned about this, which I always thought was interesting because it's like singing about like how much you love God and Jesus and nothing even to do with drugs or sex or rock and roll, but they were worried for my soul. Eventually, I convinced them, and I convinced them to buy me an electric guitar, and I started a band and played hours and hours and hours in the garage. And I was able to convince some friends to start a band with me, and I think we were called Different World, which is just a horrible band name. It probably only lasted a week, you know, and then it changed to something else. So we decided to play a song for the junior high talent show. And we practiced and we practiced and we annoyed our parents. And so fast forward now to the talent show. On stage, it's going great. I'm noticing girls are like looking at me and I'm like, oh, great, guitar, girls, awesome. Not that I would know what to do because again, conservative Christian upbringing. But I liked the attention and I thought this would be my opportunity to shine. And the music was building and crescendoing and I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do this awesome kick-ass jump in the air. It's just gonna be epic and I do it. And I'm in the air, and the world pauses, and it's beautiful and magical, and I start coming down, a little nervous that I might not land it, but I do, I land it perfectly, and I'm still amazed, but then I realize my guitar continues to fall, even though I've stopped moving. It crashes to the ground with a big, loud noise, the band keeps on playing. They don't care about me because it's their moment to shine also. So I just embarrassed, grab it, and run off stage. And I'm thinking, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? So I pick up the guitar and I go out and I finish the song out of tune. And so I guess the moral of the story is, as cliche as it is, the show must go on. So hopefully tonight there won't be any metaphorical guitar drops. And if there is, well, we'll just deal with it. So again, thank you all for coming. And now, Outside Dog.
Hey, Slipknot, can we talk for just a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks, guys. I know we're, I know we're supposed to be having band practice.
Slipknot time.
Yeah, Slipknot time.
90 minutes for band practice.
Yeah, Slipknot time.
Gary, what'd you say?
90 minutes for band practice.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a cold going around.
Yep.
Gary's got a cold.
Yeah, guys, keep using that antibacterial soap that I put in the bathroom.
Copy.
Yeah, we don't want to spread stuff to each other. But anyways, what I wanted to talk to you guys, you know, I know we're known as, like death metal. I know we're known as, like, you
Slipknot.
Know. Slipknot. We're Slipknot. We wear fucking crazy masks on stage and, like, you know, pull our dicks out and stuff.
What are you getting at, Tim?
I don't know. I guess I was just wondering, like, what if instead of doing that stuff that we've been doing for a long time, like, what if we got some Jesus in there a little bit?
Oh, like pull out our dicks and it's dressed like Jesus.
Yeah, like an upside down cross with your
like
balls and your
dick. Yeah, like a satanic Jesus that we're fucking.
No, guys.
I thought about that a lot, Tim.
I like that.
Wait, no, you're misconstruing my idea here. I'm saying, what if we don't pull out our dicks, we leave our dicks alone, and then instead we sing about how great Jesus is?
It's blasphemous, man.
Yeah, also, I would argue. Also, just, I don't play an instrument. I just pull my dick out on stage.
Yeah, what's Greg gonna do?
Okay, so.
He's got a cold, now you're taking away his job?
I'll work with you, but.
He has
don't take my job.
To feed, man.
Well, okay. No, you know, Craig, there's other things you can pull out instead of your penis.
All right.
You know, you can always.
Oh, you can pull out your love for the Savior and the Holy Trinity. I know where this goes, man.
That was great.
Okay, look, I've thought about it. Okay, I dabbled a little bit in college.
You did. You dabbled in
Jesus in college.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of vulnerable for me to talk about.
See, that's a good thing.
Because it's not punk.
Oh, okay, I know, but is it not punk or is it punk? Because think about it this way. What's more punk than going against punk and loving Jesus? When you punk, then you're the real punk.
Whoa.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Wow. Hold on, stay with me here, man.
Yeah.
Was Jesus the original punk?
You tell me, long hair,
beards,
all, never wore a shirt.
Hanging with prostitutes.
Hanging with prostitutes, loved fishing.
All right.
Died weird.
What's that?
Died weird.
Died super weird and young, too. Same age as Chris Farley.
Yeah.
33.
Wow.
And John Belushi died at 33
as
well.
These are both Slipknot's biggest
heroes.
Idols. Yeah. Yes.
Slipknot loves John Belushi.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah. So we
got the two posters of
them
in our rehearsal space.
I know.
College.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, you guys, is I'm saying let's go even more punk. Let's go even more punk than we are. So, and let's spread the word of Jesus Christ.
Now, question for my instrument.
Yeah.
I'll dress it as Jesus. Is that where we've landed on?
No, we
never pulled Jesus out.
Okay, kids.
I'm whipping little Jay.
Okay, kids, come on out of the van. All right. This is the only concert Mommy and Daddy are going to let you come to, okay?
Okay.
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 All right, it's a new band, Slipknot, and apparently they're very, very into Jesus. Just like Mommy and Daddy.
Ooh, that's fun.
That sounds really fun, Mom.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a seat. All right, get your coolers out. You got your Capri Suns?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got them?
Yeah.
All right.
Will there be gay people we can yell at?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah? We could throw things at them?
We could protest.
Oh, kids. Yeah. Kids.
Are there going to be pro-choice people here?
Oh.
Ooh.
We could throw things at them?
Yeah.
That's kind of violent, kids. I don't think that is what we need to do at this concert. Okay.
Oh. Well, I'm going to look around for a transsexual person and watch what bathroom they go into.
We'll stay by the bathroom.
And then
we'll
I'm going to point at them as they try to go into any bathroom.
I think
they shouldn't be using the bathroom.
If anyone looks like they shouldn't go into a bathroom that belongs to them, we'll throw things at them.
I agree.
My boys.
Ooh, Slipe Newt is starting. Slipe Newt.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is for Jesus.
He died for our sins.
Look at my tits.
Jesus.
Sorry. Jesus. Oh, look, Jesus.
Wow, we cut backstage after the concert.
Hey, so you're the lead singer of Slipe Newt, right?
Yeah, that's me. Thanks for coming out.
Me and my friend,
we're
wondering. So you're like friends with the guitarist who like broke his guitar and ran away?
Oh my God, it was so cute.
Oh my God, do you think we could meet him? Could you introduce that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I want him to break my cherry like he broke that guitar.
Whoa, hey, no, I'm sorry, we're not that kind of band.
What?
No, we don't break cherries, we build them.
What does that even mean?
It means through the discovery of Jesus Christ and his followers, you can take your already broken cherry and you can rebuild it, both figuratively and literally. Jesus, if you believe hard enough, will reconstruct your hymen inside of your vagina. I believe that.
We cut to the Vatican.
Brother James.
Yes?
We have a miracle for you to investigate.
Okay, put it in the pile.
You've got a whole pile of miracles that are still uninvestigated, Brother James.
I know, I will get to them.
As your assistant, I'm just very stressed.
Okay.
We have too many Google Doc sheets. We need to just get to one miracle, please.
I will listen. What is this miracle?
There's a reconstructed hymen in Orange County that we need you to verify.
In Irvine?
It could be near. It's a big...
Sandy Macabre with the Irvine 4 News. We are outside Sheila McGonigal's house. Sheila McGonigal, as you know, is the young woman whose hymen has been rebuilt from the inside out by the power of Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is unbelievable, you guys. This is unbelievable. Yesterday, I had no hymen.
Wow.
And I woke up this morning, and last night I went to bed, and I prayed that I could get a hymen again, and I woke up this morning, and I...
You were cured of your dirty sexuality.
Yes, I had a hymen.
Your parents must be so proud of you, Sheila.
Yeah, they're dead.
Excuse me, I have a question for Sheila.
This child wandered up to the news van.
Excuse me?
He has a question.
Oh, hi, hello.
Sure,
hi.
I'll take your question in
Big
the middle
fan.
Of the street. Yeah?
What bathroom do you use now?
What?
Billy, where are you?
Hold on, Mom.
Are you getting this, Tim? This is great footage.
Oh, yeah, we're getting it all.
Oh, good.
Cut to the office at the news channel. Story's got real weird today, huh, guys?
Yeah.
It was a weird cast we had, a weird newscast today.
I really wanted
for 45
her to do
minutes.
Good.
For 45 minutes, we stayed on that woman who had a hymen.
Yeah.
For 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, also, then when we got a shot of it, immediately I was in the van thinking, we can't use that. Why did I have him shoot the... Why did I move the camera? I'm sorry.
Your camera work was all over the place.
I apologize.
11 minutes, I was looking at the pavement. You had the camera pointing to the pavement, and I had to hear an interview with a woman.
Can I be devil's advocate for just a sec?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
It was either the story about the girl with the hymen or the rabbit that got too big. You know,
yeah.
It was one of those stories, and I heard this morning the rabbit died. So I really don't know.
Half
what else
of Ventura County was engulfed in a wildfire today.
Okay, but that's,
that's
way north. That's Ventura.
We're
strictly
still,
OC.
It's a close county, and that's a pretty big story. I know this is Orange County, but it's still a pretty big story for the state of California, don't you think?
Yeah.
I guess you got caught the egg on our face here.
Yep.
Yeah, you did a story about that as well.
Yeah.
You did a whole story.
Well, it was a funny story at home. I thought maybe I should tell it on the news.
Yeah. I mean, imagine making an omelet for yourself.
And then getting it on your face.
And all day, you had egg on your face.
Just walking around with egg on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hello, what's going on? And you have egg on your face the whole time.
Yeah. And remember when I got that close-up and I started on, I got all the egg and then I went past to the wall. 7 minutes of wall time. Again, I'm so sorry.
You know, you're both fired.
Thank you. That's our set.
That's our first set.
That's our first set. We'll be back.
It's Your Belinda, by the way. Not everyone. Your Belinda's where I'm from.
Birthplace of Richard Nixon and death place, which I always think is a weird thing to call out. All right, coming up to the stage next is one of my favorite. She's great. Her name is Sam J. Let's keep it going for Sam.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing? Shit, got your improv on. Improv's always weird to me. That was fun, though. I wish I could do it. I'm not happy enough. I'm so angry inside. I don't have enough joy to do that shit. I realize that's what makes me like not like it. It's not that it's not good or it's not entertaining. I'm just jealous of how happy they are all the fucking time. I wish I could feel that. I had a weird start of my week. I went to my first callback today. So, right, I get a callback. Yeah, fuck that. They're fucking stupid. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's like a false sense of, something's gonna happen and nothing's really gonna, it's just another level of nothing's actually gonna happen, you know what I mean? But I felt really good about this shit. I was like, oh man, it's my first callback. I'm gonna kill this shit. And the role is to do voiceover work for a cartoon. And I was gonna be the star of the cartoon. And the name of the cartoon was like Craig on the Creek or some shit. It's about a little black boy. He's the star of this cartoon. And I was like, all right, word, I'm killing this shit. I'm about to go rip, right? So I get to the callback, super excited. Get to the little office, put my name on the sheet, open the door to the waiting room, and there was an actual real-life little black boy in there, like a whole real one sitting there. And it's like, well, why the fuck did you guys call me? Because he's clearly way more qualified to be a little black boy than I am. And I was like, this is L.A., right? Pin me against a fucking child, right? Put me in a position where I'm now competing with a kid and also hating said kid. I don't even know this kid, but I hope none of his fucking dreams come true. Just hope this kid fucking fails at everything. He doesn't have the pressures that I have. I'm trying to bring a check home to my wife and not get kicked out. He doesn't know what life is like for me. This little fucking kid just enjoying life. I'm gonna be a cartoon. Fuck you, kid. Bullshit. I've been doing a lot of traveling too. That's been weird. I like traveling because I feel like you learn shit about people. You learn stuff about people that you don't like, and you won't know you don't like this stuff until you experience it. You gotta experience different types of people to know what type of people you hate. You know what I mean? You gotta go through some shit. Like, I was in Asheville, North Carolina, which is way, way up in the mountains of North Carolina, and I realized that I don't like people without teeth advising me on shit. Like, I feel like teeth are the first steps to giving out advice. I just feel like you need to have them before you start passing out information. Because without them, your information is just not trustworthy. I don't believe what you have to say, sir. I think I've also figured out race relations being on the road, man. Because I watch people a lot. I hang out in bars myself. I just watch people interact. And I feel like people need to embrace their stereotypes more. I feel like we're a generation of running away from our stereotypes. And you need to embrace your stereotype and then use it to help other people. There's nothing to be ashamed of, you know what I mean? Play that shit up. Use it, then help somebody else. Like, people think black people are hostile. I use that shit to my advantage all the time. I play up my hostility all the time. I ride public transportation a lot, you know? The bus and the train. I'm always acting crazy and hostile on the bus and the train. I sit in the seat, blast my music out my headphones immediately. I look left and right real crazy. I bark every once in a while. No white people sit next to me for miles on the bus and the train. It is beautiful, man. Because I don't got to deal with your boogie boards and sailboats and shit you bring on public transportation. Like, you don't know people got to get to work. Is that a fucking surfboard? What the fuck is this dude? People got places to go. We think Asians are magical. We think one touch will knock you out. No one's running up on an Asian person. If you're not that tough, you play that up, Asian person. Use it to your advantage. white women have the power of tears. You guys cry and get whatever the fuck you want. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Keep crying, white woman. I wish people gave a fuck when I cried. No one cares, man. No one gives a shit when I cry. I don't even care when I see a black woman cry. I don't care when I see a woman of color cry. I don't care. That's the truth. I'm going to be honest. I don't give a fuck, man. It doesn't. I can't feel shit because we cry too strong. We do that stiff slavery cry and the one tear rolls down. You can't feel shit for that. White women break the fuck down, man. They fall to fucking pieces. That invokes emotion. Every time I see a black lady cry, I'm just like, bitch, times are tough. Get your life together. I don't know what to tell you. See a white lady cry, I'm like, oh my God, we gotta help her. Look at her. She is in distress. She doesn't deserve this shit. Gotta embrace your thing, man, because you can help other people. Like, I was at this comedy festival, right? I was with my homeboy, we're chilling. We automatically look suspicious because he is a man. I look like a man. We're both black and we smell like a shit ton of weed, okay? Tons of weed. And I'm trying to hide the weed. I'm ducking and dodging security. And then this white lady walks up. She's like, hey, smell that weed you're smoking. I would love to smoke with you. I'll even light a cigarette to help mask the smell if you let me. And I felt like we had just picked up an item in Zelda. Like, you just acquired white woman shield. You are now invisible to cops, security, and otherwise nosy-ass crackers. Like, fuck yeah. Doing what I want to do. Living how I want to live. I also like traveling, man, because I get to get away from my wife, man. I'm newly married. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh. No one told me that she was going to talk forever after that. Oh, she doesn't stop talking, and it's just nonsense. Like, it's not important shit. Like, I'm sorry, I know I'm a girl, I should be a feminist, and, like, women have things to say, but they don't. They don't have good things to say most of the time. She doesn't have anything valuable to say 90% of the time. It's never good stuff, you know? She's never giving me good information. It's never like we're driving over a bridge, you know, over some water. And she's like, hey, babe, crack your window just in case we go flying off this bridge, land in this water. You'll be able to open your door right up because the water pressure will even out, save your life. It's never information like that. It's never life-saving. It's always just I'm minding my business, pouring soda in the kitchen. And she's like, eh, is that Sprite? That's a wine glass. Like, get the fuck out of here. Let me live, man. Maybe I want to drink my soda like a king today out of goddamn chalice. Mind your fucking business. So it's good to get away from her, you know? That's how I like being on the road, too. It's just peace and quiet. It's my own time. I can do what I want to do. Pace myself the way I want to. Watch the porn I want to watch when I want to watch it. Freedom. Because married porn is different. I didn't know how weird it was going to be to try to sneak and watch porn. I never had to do it. I feel so bad for, like, the men who've been doing it for years, you know? It's terrible, man. Like, you're a fucking adult. You should be able to whip your dick out, jerk off where you feel. You can't. You sneak in and look at certain shit because you don't want them to find out the weird shit you're into. You know what I mean? It's good to be on the road and just watch stuff. I watched 2 hours of some shit from the Czech Republic just because it was weird as hell and uncomfortable, but I watched it to the end because I had the freedom to. You know what I'm saying? And I realized I miss DVD and VHS porn a lot, man. I feel like we need that shit back as a society. I feel like it kept us in line. I feel like the way the internet is too loose, man. You find out you're a piece of shit online very quickly. Find out you were into stuff you didn't even know you were into. Find out dark things about yourself you don't even know. Like back in the day, if you bought a booty sex DVD, all you got to see was booty sex. You had to be a booty sex dude. You didn't get to be another kind of guy. You just had to say, like, hey, I'm into booty sex. That's my thing, you know? Like back in the day, if you went to see a chick fuck a donkey, a lot of steps had to be taken to see some shit like that. You had to do a whole lot to see a chick fuck a donkey back in the day, man. You had to make a few phone calls. You'd meet someone at the Mexican border. You exchange some money. Get back a blank VHS, hope it was actually a chick fucking a donkey and not snow dogs or some shit like that by the time you got it home. You took a risk. And now if you want to see a chick fuck a donkey, you just type in Google, chick fucks donkey, and Google's like, what kind of donkey? Like, holy shit. Bitches is fucking different kind of donkeys.
That's crazy.
The other day I was online, right? And I was watching regular orgies. Nothing German, just straight up and down American orgies. Minding my business, man, being a citizen of the world. And they started asking me if I wanted to see other shit. The suggestions fucked me up. Went down a porno black hole, right? Found out some shit about myself I didn't want to know. Watching regular orgies, and it was like, boo, do you want to see a public gangbang? And I was like, goddamn right I do. I'm watching orgies. That is just an orgy outside. Clicked on that. And I was like, boop, do you want to see chicks walked around on dog leashes? And I was like, I don't know, dude. Because I didn't even know that was some shit they were doing. Clicked on that. I was like, white women are crazy. Basically, what I'm trying to say, if you would have asked me a month ago, Sam, do you approve of incest? No, would have been my answer. Absolutely not. Incest is wrong. But I watched some mother-daughter tag team porn the other day, guys. Completely changed my fucking mind, man. And I have to say, it's because I didn't know the mother was going to be so supportive in the situation. I was like, at the end of the day, this is a story about families coming together. Hey, y'all been real cool. Bye.
Wow. Mom, if you're listening to the podcast, you can turn it off now.
We got blasphemy and public orgies. That's awesome. All right, why don't we give it up once again for Sam J and Outside Dog. They've been great. Welcome to the stage, Sean Conroy, everybody.
Thank you so much. That was completely overwhelming. I appreciate that. That was nice. Before I get started, I just want to make it clear that I know exactly what you're thinking. Yes, I look like what would have happened if Harry Potter had fucked Hagrid. I don't like the fact that if I want to make a wish, I have to wait for something specific. Like a birthday cake, or a well, or a particular type of bone. So I make random wishes. I walk around and I just wish for stuff. Like sometimes I wish I could teach all doctors everywhere to never again say the word yikes. That way I'd never have to go into the doctor again and hear this. Mr. Conroy, would you take your shirt off, please? Yikes. And it seems like such a simple thing to fix. All I have to do is teach them a more appropriate response. So after that, I'd be like, Mr. Conroy, would you take your shirt off, please? Good job. Sometimes I wish women were more like credit card companies. Because that way they'd look at me and go, hey, that guy has $8. Let's fuck him. That's a really good joke. You guys are all enjoying your cocktails. I enjoy a cocktail once in a while. I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn rules as I started drinking when I was younger. Like, the first rule I learned when I was drinking, and you guys probably all know this one. It was the very first rule I learned, and it was liquor then beer, all is clear. Beer then liquor, never sicker. Very simple, easy to remember, very helpful. But then I started drinking more and more things, and I had to learn more and more specific rules. So the next rule I learned after that was whiskey, then beer, all is clear. Beer, then whiskey, don't get too frisky. Then after that it was wine, then beer, all is clear. A lot of them start exactly the same way. Wine, then beer, all is clear. Beer, then wine, everything's fine. You can do that either way. After that, the one I learned was brandy, then wine, everything's fine. Wine, then brandy, Jessica Tandy. And I never knew what that meant, but kind of nice to see. But I have that for any kind of alcohol that you could possibly, like what's some, back there, somebody, what kind of alcohol do you like to drink back there? First thing I heard was rum. The second thing I heard was gin. Give it up for the pirates in the back. But I do have a rule about rum and gin, and it goes like this. Gin, then rum. Disguise it with gum. Gum, rum, then gin. Begin it again. That's my rule. So I have 444 of those rules. They're on my website. Feel free to download that from. It's a PDF. You guys been following this politics at all? This presidential thing that's going on. How many people here besides me are going to vote for Donald Trump? No one. All right. So already a hostile audience. No, I'm definitely voting. I want Trump to be the president so bad because I don't agree with his. I think he's a fucking moron. But I just want him to be in the position where he has to give speeches on a regular basis. He has to be the president and give speeches. Like, I was looking back at speeches people have given over the years and, like, what Trump's version of that would be. So I'd like to read you some speeches. You have to decide who gave this speech. This is a chance for me to do my incredible impressions. My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. You guys know who that was, right? JFK. It's like he was here almost. Here's Trump's version of that speech. What are you going to do? That's it. That's the whole speech. Here's another... Here's another famous speech that you might recognize. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in all flesh. Shall see it together. You guys know who that was, right? MLK. I love how they all have initials. By the way, that was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One of the great tragedies, obviously it was awful that he was assassinated, but I also would have liked to see him live a long life to see how many titles he accumulated throughout the course of his life. So by the time he died, he would have been like, General, Admiral, Reverend, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., DDS. Yes, I just made him a dentist. Imagine if he was your dentist. I told you to floss. So here's Trump's version of that speech is, we're going to get the best guys. We're going to fix everything. That's it. Here's another famous speech. See if you can figure out who this is. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. You know who that was, right? WBC. I just made up a middle initial for him. Yeah, Winston Churchill. Here's Trump's version of that speech. We're gonna knock the crap out of these guys. That's it. here's another another famous speech. It goes like this. I've lived all five of my acts, Mahoney, and I am not asking you to be happy that I must go. I'm only asking that you turn the page, continue reading, and let the next story begin. You guys know who that was, right? Yeah, that was Mr. Megorium in Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. There's no Trump version of that. Here's the last one. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate, Mr. Gorbachev. Open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You know who that was, right? Reagan, yeah. So here's Trump's version of that. This is great. Who built this for you? Mexico? Yeah, you guys are very nice.
So please welcome back to the stage now, Outside Dog.
Hagrid? Hagrid? It's,
Yes?
Oh, it's me, Harry. Will you let me in? I know it's dark.
Oh, goodness, Harry, it's so late. But that's how I'll let you in.
Thank you. Oh, you're making a spot of tea, huh?
Well, yes, Harry. Yes, Harry, I was making a little bit of tea in my robe.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Say, Hagrid.
Yes, Harry Potter.
Well, you know what? Things between me and Cho haven't been going so good.
No.
I took her to a really cute cafe in Hogsmeade, and
that's charming.
Well, I thought so, but she stormed out something about, I don't know, being mad at me or something.
Yes.
I don't understand girls.
Sorry, Harry, Your shirt has fallen over your shoulder a little bit. It's showing a little...
Oh.
A little bit of your soft white skin.
It got a little ripped in the Whomping Willow.
Oh. The Whomping Willow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hagrid, were you getting ready for bed? I see there's bed sheets and tissues all around.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes. Harry, I was getting ready for bed.
Well, I'll be going. I don't know what I was thinking. I just
wait.
What? What is it?
You don't have to leave if you don't want to.
Why?
I mean, after all, you're 18 now, and thank God you're 18.
Right, I have the time turner on.
Yes.
I went into the field.
Yes.
Oh no, someone's at your door.
Hide under the Kleenex. There's so many Kleenex.
It's a Muggle product, but I respect you for using it.
Oh. Hello?
Hello, Hagrid.
Oh. Snape.
I'm all out of Kleenex. I was wondering if I could borrow some.
Snape, I know you didn't come here for Kleenex. Oops. You came here for mutual
Oops.
Jerking off.
Oops, did my belt...
Yes!
...fly off? Belt-aramus.
Hagrid? Hagrid?
Quick! Hide underneath my Lubriderm bottles.
Excellent.
Yes. Hold on.
Hagrid!
Who's at my back door?
It is me! Professor Dumbledore, as portrayed by the old man in the first movie.
Yeah, of course, Dumbledore.
I hope it wouldn't be too much of an imposition for an old man to take a load off in your small cabin.
You put an emphasis on the word load there, didn't you?
Don't.
Dumbledore,
I
know what you're here for.
Oh, someone's at your other door.
You're here for a rimming party.
You want a rim job?
Just nothing German.
Okay. Well, hold on 1 second.
I'll hide as a chair.
Great.
Hello, Hagrid. It's me, Professor Flitwick.
What?
The little one.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I think I remember you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Come on in, Flitwick.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm here to fly up inside of you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm very bad at coming up with excuses. I'm very direct. I very pride myself on my directness.
All right. Everyone, come out.
What? There's more?
Come out here.
Harry Potter.
Professors.
All right.
Harry Potter.
Listen, this has got to stop. You all want to fuck me. I get it. I get it. Everybody here wants to fuck Hagrid. Hagrid.
Whatever you want to call Hagrid. Yourself, it's okay.
Are you already drunk, Hagrid?
Yes. Listen, I'm looking for something a little bit more emotional. I'm not looking for something so physical.
Eight arms knocking. Eight arms knocking on your cabin.
Eight arms? Oh, Jesus Hagrid. Christ.
It's me, the big spider.
Oh. Come on in, big spider.
Okay.
What do you want?
I think you know.
Look, big spider, I was just giving a speech about this whole situation. I'm tired of being used as a sexual object here at Hogwarts.
What?
I
just needed some mulch.
Yeah, you're making a lot of assumptions
den.
There.
Oh, you need mulch.
I need mulch for my spider den.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, yeah. Go around back. I've got plenty of mulch there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, class. Take your final notes on that documentary we watched about the end of the social rights movement in the 60s and 70s. Let's close our books about World War II and for a second talk about one of the most important moments of the 20th century. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Will everyone please pull out your DVDs of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium?
Were we expected to bring that DVD
was
to
that
school?
In the book?
Well, if your parents signed the permission slip.
I thought this was history class. Is it Mr.
Are you wisecracking? Yes,
no,
this is history class.
Isn't that the movie with Dustin Hoffman and he's just got a weird shop?
A Wonder Emporium, and yes, Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, it's a wonder. Yeah.
Plays Mr. Megorium.
Was it even that good of a movie?
Okay, clearly no one in this class has any respect for the generation that came before them.
Okay, but sorry, Ms. Stevens. I thought that movie came out in like the early 2000s, and
right, but
we're
the people
doing
writing
European,
that movie are
it was World
all
War
in their
II,
50s
European.
Or 60s. Yeah.
So you're saying they were maybe influenced by.
Miss Stevens?
Yes?
Can I ask you a question?
What is it, Todd?
Truthfully?
Okay.
Do you just not know anything about what happened in the 60s and 70s? Are you just trying to deflect and make us talk about your favorite movie instead? Because I would respect that. If you just said that out loud, as a seventh grader, I'd respect it.
Come on. That's not what I'm doing. I know plenty about it. I was a sub for 3 years, and then they were like, the school district needs someone to teach history, and I was like, well, I have to pay the rent. I can't sell my last DVDs because I need to give them to the class.
So you had a classroom set of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium DVDs at home? You had 30 DVDs of this movie just sitting
yes.
around your house?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It is a wonderful movie.
Is it?
Yes, his eyes sparkle
with
the wonder of the Emporium. Mr.
Okay.
Megorium's spirit, that in the end of the second act, you think it's all over, and he's having a hard time, but then he gets back on his feet with a new Emporium.
I mean, like, that's most movies, though. Most movies at the end of the second act, like something bad happens and you think it's all going to go to shit. And then in the third act, they wrap it up and it's great. And everything works out. And the lesson is, I mean, like that's most, it's pretty.
Okay, but that's sometimes
that
not
pretty,
how life works.
Right. I agree.
I'm sorry to cry.
Oh my god.
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, I have a phone. I'll dial 911.
Oh, thank you. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm crying.
Hello, 911.
Hello.
Oh
yes, this is 911.
Yeah. Hi. My name's Brandon. I'm a seventh grader.
Yes.
At Howard Taft Elementary, seventh grade. Sorry, my teacher's crying and she's white.
It's really okay.
My history teacher's crying. Woman crying
my
at the school.
Crying and she's a white woman.
Oh,
she's
no,
a white.
Really
she's
okay.
A white middle-aged woman. She's crying.
Okay,
I don't
listen
know
to me.
Do.
Listen to me, son. Listen to me.
She's falling to pieces.
This is very, okay, she's crumbling.
Yeah, she's crumbling.
Listen to me, son. This is very important.
Can you hear that? It sounds like
yeah.
It's like Wizard of Oz, like a
to
melting.
Comfort her now.
I have to what?
Comfort her.
How do I do that?
Well, ask her questions about herself. Ask her what she's feeling. Tell her what she's feeling
Miss
is Steven, valid.
Miss Stevens, what are you feeling?
Oh, God, I'm feeling so not seen.
She feels unseen.
She feels unseen.
She feels unseen. What do I say?
Get a group of people. Get a group of people right now to come in and look at her.
Okay, guys, everybody. Everybody, look at Mrs. Stevens. Look at Mrs. Stevens.
No, I don't want attention.
Oh, she's playing with her hair.
Yep, that's
she's
part of the challenge. That's part of the challenge. Just keep moving forward.
Like duck lips, okay.
Just keep moving forward. This is what white women do.
Mrs. Stevens, did you lose weight?
Oh.
You look great.
Thank you. I've been very busy and stressed. It's just, I hate being this guy right now. I hate it. I'm not usually this person, okay? It's just all too much, you know?
She's deflecting. Yep. I think it's okay.
Good job, kid. Okay. You're going to be a future paramedic for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. 911 out.
Okay. See you later.
That's our set.
Thanks.
How many people here have seen Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium? Anyone?
Woo!
One, two people? I wanted to see it, but I didn't. So, I don't know what that means. Let's keep it going. Thanks again to Outside Dog. They'll be back one more time. Coming to the stage right now, you've seen him on Conan, you've seen him elsewhere. Please welcome John Roy.
This is great, though. Dead center, front row, nobody. I love that.
This is the only form of entertainment where these are considered the worst seats in the house. You don't call a Ticketmaster. What do you guys have left for Drake? We have the front row. Well, fuck that. What do you have in the parking lot? I like that we're doing this here in L.A. I like that there are lots of cool things to do in L.A. I like it here. I moved here 12 years ago. I'm not from here, but I like it here. And I'm sick of people that come here from somewhere else, and then they won't stop talking shit about it and how much better it is where they're from. And to them, I say, fucking go back there then and eat some of that pizza you won't shut the fuck up about.
I just can't get a good pizza. I mean, I try, I look, but I just can't get a good pizza.
Well, it's 80 in February. Eat a taco. And I don't know why they're looking for pizza in Los Angeles either. We don't have a lot of Italians. We have some, but not enough to have a pizza tradition. The only Italians in L.A. are people who moved here to play Italians in movies that are set in New York. But I love it here. I moved here 12 years ago. My first neighborhood didn't even have a name. I lived on Pico and La Cienega. They called it Beverly Hills Adjacent. That was my name. How low self-esteem is that? That's like if your name was I Know Dan. That's how bad that is. Then I moved to West Hollywood. I moved there because I always wanted to live in a lunatic asylum in the gay part of Moscow. I pulled that off for 4 years. And then I moved to where I live now, and over by Thai Town. I like to walk around my neighborhood. I was walking over by the Sunset Vermont metro station. And these cops were like, "Woo, yeah! Sunset Vermont! Kaiser Permanente!" That was the first woo that's ever gotten. But anyway, this guy was being, a homeless guy was being arrested. And I was like, well, that's not a crime to be homeless. So I went to the police. I was like, well, you know, what are you arresting him for? He's like, oh, no, this guy's not even homeless. He's a grifter. He's got an apartment. He just comes down here and tells a bunch of lies and steals from people. I was like, imagine that happening right here on L. Ron Hubbard Boulevard. I hope that kind of behavior is not rewarded in our city. Everybody wants to go downtown now. All my friends are like, let's go downtown. And I love downtown. But I still think downtown is kind of like a perfect mixture of things that are kind of getting better. And things that are still pretty awful. Like, hey, they got a Whole Foods. Hey, that guy's dead. But I like it here, and I'm sick when I go to other places, because it's never happened when I've lived anywhere else, where you go to another city, and you say, I live in Los Angeles, and people go, I'm sorry. Like, just, they'll do that. And, like, if you were from any other city and they did that, like, if you were from Pittsburgh, and you're like, I'm from Pittsburgh, and a stranger goes, I'm sorry, you could punch them. And everyone would agree that you're right. But we're just supposed to take it, because it's what we get for living somewhere warm. Like, oh, well, we're in shithead town. And what sucks is that a lot of people who will go, I'm sorry, are people that live in shitty cities. Like, look at the scoreboard shitty. Like, not even, like, up for debate shitty. Right? And they've never been here. They've just seen some shit on TV, and apparently everyone east of Highland Park thinks Entourage was a documentary. Well, it was not a documentary. But even if it was, I would rather hang out with Turtle than anyone in Cleveland. If you really want to hear just how much they hate us, just wait till there's an earthquake. And call anyone who doesn't live here that you know. Actually, forget it. They'll call you. Don't worry about it. They'll call you within seconds, and then just listen to the glee in their voice as they go, did you feel it? Did you feel it? Oh, the natural disaster that hit where I live? Yeah, I felt that. Well, what about the big one? Are you ready for the big one? Oh, the one that might kill me. Yeah, that's a fun thing to talk about. Let's talk about that. Well, you're ready for it. It's coming. The big one's coming. You'll feel that. Like, yeah, I will. Or maybe not, actually. It may actually kill me so quickly that I don't feel it at all. It may kill me in my sleep. It may kill me quickly to where I don't even know what has happened. Cleveland's going to kill you slow. Just 79 years of Browns loss after Browns loss until you're just begging for that river to catch on fire just one more time. There's some things in the culture I don't like. I heard an expression the other day. My buddy called somebody a basic bitch. And I was like, what is that? That sounds bad. And he goes, well, that's a woman who does what everybody else does. She dresses the same. She does the same dances. I'm like, okay, well, that might be annoying. That's not bad enough that she should get called a basic bitch over it. Especially when the male equivalent of that woman is just called a bro. Which isn't even bad at all. That's not fair. That's like if you saw a guy with glow sticks and you're like, what do you call that guy? And they're like, oh, he's like an EDM kid. And you're like, well, what do you call his girlfriend? Drug addicted filth. Whoa. It's kind of a disparity. I have something I'd like to confess. I have an addiction in my life. This is something I wish was fake, but I'm actually telling you the truth here. For the last 3 years, every day of my life, I have had at least one Red Bull. And something's going on down there on a DNA level. There is some Incredible Hulk 28 days later stuff going on in my cells. And I have a feeling we may find out from the FDA in 10 years why they never should have let this stuff on the market in the first place. And before I get into this, I want you to know I'm not talking about vodka and Red Bull. Or Jaeger bombs. I don't mix any alcohol with my Red Bull. I don't need any alcohol possibly mellowing out the 3-hour panic attack I just paid $4 for. I know I'm addicted because I want it every day. And I don't know why I want it. And I certainly don't need it. Nobody does. The only person who could possibly need the amount of energy in a Red Bull might be like a bike messenger that lost his bike. But still has to hit the same delivery times. That guy, drink all you want. The rest of us don't need it, and we certainly don't need the side effects. And before I get into what those are, let me give you an idea of the amount of Red Bull I'm drinking here. Because I don't drink that little gateway Red Bull on the left anymore. I drink the one in the middle that looks like the shell you fire out of the biggest gun in Halo. That's what I'm drinking. You drink that amount or more, you don't sleep at night. You toss and turn all night long like you have to invade Omaha Beach the next morning. And there's a twitch, a physical twitch. I twitch. You should not twitch because you drank some crap you can buy at a gas station. But I drink a bunch of Red Bull, I do this. And then I look behind me. like someone's there. Probably me from the future. And I'm deformed now because I've been drinking Red Bull for 10 years. And this is my last chance to go back in time and stop me before it's too late. Because it's going to be too late. Because this stuff's not a drink. It's a drug. You wouldn't drink it for the taste. Who wants the taste of a melted Jolly Rancher mixed with the taste of involuntary manslaughter? You don't drink it with your friends. You're not like, come on in, guys. I got some Red Bulls chilling. You don't drink it with food. You're not like, well, I'll have the steak and a Red Bull would be good. You know where you do drink it? In the store, like a crackhead getting his hit. When you first saw it, you knew something was wrong. Like, what's that tiny metal chapstick tube doing by the Pepsi? The symbol of the company is two bulls charging skull to skull. It's the symbol for brain damage. There's a warning on the can. Drinks don't have warnings. Maybe a drink might be like, it's a little pulpy, shake before opening. Thanks, Tropicana, I will. The Red Bull warning says, not suitable. Already, red flag. Not suitable. I like suitable drinks. I like my drinks to be suitable. If someone was like, hey, who would you like your drink to be suitable for? I'd be like, everybody. Why are there other choices? Not suitable for children, pregnant women, or anyone with a sensitivity to caffeine. Who does that leave out? You know why I think that warning's there? Because 10 years from now, when whatever process is currently running through our cells reaches its peak, those wings we were promised sprout out of our backs and their giant, flightless, deformed demon wings. The Red Bull lawyer can be like, technically, we said it was for nobody. What do we need all this energy for anyway? Why is my generation obsessed with energy? We're not doing shit. What do I need to be jacked up for? Because sometimes a smartphone jams and you gotta go. The generation that built the Golden Gate Bridge with their bare hands did it with just coffee. Maybe a little tea. I'm drinking something called taurine so I can watch entire seasons of a TV show in one day. And the hero of the show is a meth cooker. And I'm John Roy Comic on Twitter. Enjoy the rest of your night.
John Roy, everybody. All right, this next comic is one of my favorites. Let's give it up for Zach Sherwin.
Hey, guys. I'm Zach. It's such a pleasure to be performing at the Improv Lab tonight. Or the improvisation laboratory, I call it, where I'm trying to be a little bit more formal. So it's nice to be here with you guys. What a show you've had. We kick things off with Liquid Feet, my friends Liquid Feet, the dance troupe. Another round of applause for those guys. Always so amazing. Most of my friends, when they're about to go on stage, I say break a leg. But with Liquid Feet, I say spill a leg. It's tweaked because it's liquid. They're Liquid Feet. Guys, I thought of it on the way over, and this is the time to try it. The day you think of it when you're on a show with Liquid Feet. I don't have any kids, but I do feel like my dad jokes I love as much as if they were my own children. So, but before I get into some more material, let's talk a little bit about the shirt that I'm wearing. People like this shirt, and they come up to me, and they do, I think what you're doing, they sort of peer at it, and they go, what is that on your shirt? What are those? And the answer is they're foxes. They're a little print of foxes. Does that make sense now? Yeah. What's that?
Is that a saddle?
A saddle? No, they're actually little foxes. That was funny. I said they were foxes. You said, yeah, and then asked if it was a saddle. Oh, a saddle on the foxes. I don't think so, but I love the world you're living in. So, you know, I don't, like, count on it, but I'm not surprised when I have a little conversation about this shirt when I wear it out. It's not long ago I was about to do a show, and I was waiting to go on stage, and I just looked at the shirt of a guy who was sitting along the bar in my path to the stage, and I saw that he had this same shirt, and he was wearing it. And I was like, I'm going to have a little fun with this guy. So I got on stage, and I was like, hey, you guys, so good to be here. And I was like, the gentleman at the bar, can I ask you, that shirt you're wearing? And he looked down and smiled with the expression of someone who has had many conversations about this shirt in the past. And I was like, what is that on your shirt? Well, what's the little pattern on there? And he was like, oh, they're foxes. And then I could tell he was like expecting me to be like, I love the pattern on your shirt. But instead I was like, yeah, I know, motherfucker, because I have that shirt too, and I also bought it at TJ Maxx. And then I helped him down from Blast, you guys, because that was what I put him on. Damn. And that's the shirt story. Okay, where do we go from here? I checked into a hotel room not long ago, and the person behind the desk said to me, your room will be a non-smoking king. And I said, just like its occupant. And I put my hand out for the high five, but I didn't get it. So it's nice to be able to bring it to you guys and have you appreciate it the way that it's meant to be appreciated, damn it. At this point, I do that stuff all the time. I throw out little, you know, trial balloons to see if a gust of wind will pick it up. Usually they just fall to the ground. But I've got enough of them at this point that I might write a one-man show of times that I've failed to have mutual fun with someone and then told a crowd about it later. I'll give you guys a couple more. These are all real. They might sound embellished for the sake of comedy, but they really happened. This one's super recent. I was talking to someone, and I was about to sit down, and she said, be careful on that chair. The screws are, pause, screwy. And I was like, how can you say that? And then just move on as if you didn't say the screws are screwy. We're building to the great ones, you guys. I'm starting you off easy. I was talking to my friend's boyfriend, who I'm friendly with, but, like, not super close. And I was like, so what's been going on, man? And he was like, oh, I've been surfing the last 7 mornings. And I was like, wow, the last 7 mornings? And he was like, yeah, I like to do activities in waves. Surfing, you guys. And I was like, activities in waves. And he was like, yeah, you know, yoga, surfing, whatever it is. And I was like, all right, we're existing in different realities right now. I'm glad I'm in mine, even if it's less populated. What's popular isn't always right. I'm going to give you 2 more. I saw a friend who's a stand-up comedian. And I was like, hey, you look good. And she was like, thanks. I recently lost 40 pounds. And now everything in my life is way different. And I was like, because you weigh different. And she was like, what? And we both walked away from each other thinking, how is that person a stand-up comedian? And then this, I think, is the one. This is the real big one. I was with 2 friends, both women, and one of them was wearing a leopard print belt. And the other woman was like, can I just say, I love the pattern on your belt. And the woman with the belt goes, I know, it's leopardy. And the other woman was like, this is leopardy. And I was like, this is leopardy! Nothing from either one of them, you guys. Absolutely zero. The needle didn't even quiver to the point that I have to bring it to comedy audience after comedy audience, seeking the validation that will never be enough because it didn't happen in the moment. All right. I'm going to close things out with a rap song for you guys, and I'm just going to tell you at the beginning, you can kind of sit back and relax and bliss out on my intricate wordplay, but when I get to the end of it and I'll tell you very clearly what to do, you're going to have an opportunity to participate, and I'm going to make it real painless for you, but I do want you guys to go in on it. Okay, this is a very absurd rap song I wrote several years ago. It's about my enthusiasm for toothpicks. There's no deeper meanings. Just enjoy what happens. All right, DJ, beat me. Ooh. That beats like a warm bath, you guys, right? If your vertebrae are in decent shape, just back and forth it like this, because this is one of those. All right, here we go. Toothpicks. I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick to pick the tooth with.
I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick to pick the tooth. Here we go. I hope your brains are double-jointed, friends, because I'm going to bend your minds with rhymes about the dental implements with pointed ends. I never have an early night. Till the break of dawn, I kick sick lyrics about the picks betwixt my pearly whites. Twigs to dig out what my food holes chewed. When my stash diminishes, I replenish at Whole Foods. They have these fancy ones with tea tree oil and cinnamon. Part of my dental regimen. Party women and gentlemen. I masticate at faster rates. Teeth grind more wood than a termite and a beaver combined. As I hack through timber like the axes of lumberjacks. No wonder Zach purchases picks by the 100 packs. I'm the environmental lawyer annoyer, cause I'll shred a redwood and destroy a sequoia. Which, by the way, is the only tree with all 5 vowels in its name. Sequoia, y'all! I use a toothpick! I use a toothpick! I use a toothpick to pick the tooth with. Yes, I use a toothpick! I use a tooth. And just when you guys thought this chorus could not get one iota catchier, this is toothpick music. This is toothpick music. This is toothpick mute. You're gonna need a toothpick for your brains to unstick that morsel. Okay, I'm gonna divide the room in three, give you guys each a part to do, and we're gonna rock this thing out together. Don't be distracted by the waiter. Here's your part. Toothpick, I use a toothpick, I use a toothpick, I use a toothpick. Fox Saddle, it's on you. If they start fucking up, keep things going. All right, middle section, tooth. You can chill for now, I'll count you in, I'll count you in. You guys, toothpick, mew, zig, toothpick, mew, zig, tooth. Great, if you don't have it by now, then there's no more I can give you. It's the easiest part. Bar, like this. Oh shit, it's that toothpick music. Oh shit, it's that toothpick music. It's the hardest part, but the coolest. It's that toothpick music. Oh shit, it's that toothpick me. Okay, great. So I'm gonna bring you guys in. Everybody keep going till I start rapping again. Make it beautiful. Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick. I use a toothpick music. Tooth. Oh shit, it's that toothpick music. Yup. Oh shit, it's that tooth. Keep it going. Listen to how good you guys sound. This is it. We're really in this room together right now doing this thing. It's beautiful. Okay, check it out. Let me tell y'all what I mean, brah. You're gonna wanna keep that clean jaw. Don't want the teeth to be seen with the green beans or the quinoa in between. Nah, put a pick in your mouth. Move it all about. Get food on it. Pull it on out. Eat the food off it. Stick it right back. Bonus snack, like a bonus track. I don't blow my stack. I just kick it and chill. And I stay spick and span with a pick of my grill, so I'm free of unwanted food particles. Making ladies wanna remove the articles. If I had a plate of spinach and broccolis with lots of cheese topped with the poppy seeds, that wouldn't stick in between my teeth, cause I got a wooden stick in between my teeth. Thank you guys! Terrific rapping. I'm Zach Sherwin. Back to your wonderful host, Andrew Stevens.
How great was Zach, everybody? Let's keep it going for everyone you've seen tonight. Zach Sherwin, John Roy, Sam J, Sean Conroy, and once again, Outside Dog. Yeah.
Man, I was so good at rapping.
And good work, everyone.
Yeah, yeah, you guys were also good at rapping.
Yeah, all right. X-Men, thank you for coming to this early morning meeting.
Sure.
Yes. As your leader, Professor Xavier, it's very important that you meet the newest and perhaps most important X-Men we've ever brought onto the team.
Wolverine is not the most important X-Men. I'm not the most important X-Men.
Oh, man,
sorry, Logan.
Wolverine.
Sorry, Logan. You're very good. You're very important.
I'm super popular.
You're super. Look, it's. I just want to introduce the newest team member. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. I don't. Oh. Now you're all in your heads. I can hear it. I can.
Sorry, we're
I know you're in your heads now.
Now I'm ranking us.
I shouldn't have. I know. What?
I'm
really.
Ranking, I'm
no,
ranking
I'm
all
reading
of us.
The rankings in your
yeah.
head right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe you. You really got to get over Cyclops, him and Jean Grey. It's just. Yeah. Wow.
I love it.
Even
so
lower
much.
Than Jubilee. That's interesting.
Yeah. Who's the new X-Men?
His name is John. And for 10 years, he's consumed powerful, mutagenic property known as taurine. He is the Red Bull that may save us all.
Oh, what's that smell? Oh, ew, who is that?
That's John,
oh,
John.
Jesus. Oh.
John, come in.
Hey, what up? Oh, what's up? Hey, how you guys doing? Let's kick some fucking ass, right? You want to go outside?
See how alert he is?
Dog.
I can't even read his mind. He's that good. He's that on.
Nice. Good one. About the ranking thing. Let's go outside.
You look like you have not bathed and been up for weeks.
It's pointless. It's pointless, man. Why bathe? Come on. Let's go kick some ass.
Okay. Wolverine, you see, this is how we beat Magneto. Sorry, but you're made of metal. John.
I have a couple questions.
Absolutely. This is why I called the
meeting. Wolverine has a couple questions.
Sure. What's up?
So what is your power exactly?
I just grow little baby wings. See?
Yeah, look at those.
They got little wings in them.
Yeah, Red Bull gave him wings.
They're drank Red Bull for 10 years. Now I got little wings.
Yes.
They don't even have feathers on them.
No, man.
They're bloody.
You want to go outside and see if they work? They never do, but I always try.
If you want, Logan, you can. I love bonding.
I know those tiny, tiny, deformed little wings are not going to work.
I can hear in your head you're sort of curious.
I'm part human.
Sure.
Part of being human is being curious about. I mean, I'm curious about this whole thing. I'm very entertained. But there's no way. Look, I'm sorry. When Magneto and his henchmen. When they finally...
Right, the Magnetites!
Yes, the Magnetites.
Yes. They've rebranded themselves.
When they attack, they all have pretty impressive superpowers.
Right.
Right? You've got, what's the girl that turns blue?
Saying, man, let's go outside!
What?
Let's go outside! Right? Let's go outside!
Let's go outside!
Let's go outside!
Yes!
All right, fine. I'll humor you. Let's go outside.
All right, let's go back inside!
See? Look at that. Wolverine, you're so powerful, and John was able to convince you with almost nothing.
Let's go on the roof, see if I fly.
No, we just went outside. You did nothing, and now you want to go out back inside.
I drank Red Bull for 10 years. I don't know what to tell you.
You were so scattered.
We cut to Red Bull Man squaring off with Magneto.
Ah, Professor X. Now I've got you, X-Men, right where I want you.
Or so you think.
What's up? I was in the back the whole time. You didn't see me because you assumed I was just a person. I pretended to be dead, but I'm not. I have these pretty little wings in my back. I also smell bad because of something
it's
with
so
my teeth.
It's so annoying.
What up? Good. You want to go outside? Hey, let's go outside. Let's go outside. Right? No, hey, you want to go outside? Oh, wait. Now we should
please.
Go outside. Let's go on the roof, see if I fly.
John, well done.
You want to go outside?
What? It's Wolverine. I just got here. What happened?
No, Logan. You missed the plane.
Magneto's dead?
Yes. John beat him.
You want to touch my wings?
He does. I can read his mind.
Hi. I've never been in a Petco before. So I see there's some dog food and you've got some cat supplies. Where do you keep the fox saddles?
I'm sorry, did you say fox saddles?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's little saddles for little foxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. I think you're mistaken.
I've been trying to use a horse saddle. Fucker's too small for the horse.
First of all, sir, do you have a fox?
There's a family of foxes that live in my backyard.
There's a family of foxes?
Uh-huh.
Okay. First thing I would say...
Little tiny ones.
Yeah, okay.
Little teeny foxes.
I would say foxes are wild, so I would say leave them alone.
Yeah, they're fine.
No, they're not fine. You're trying to put horse saddles on foxes. They're not fine.
All right, I see this isn't a cat accessories, but it looks like some sort of novelty saddle. You think that'll fit on a fox? I'm going to try it. All right, so we'll put that in the bag for now. You got any fox saddles, though, for real?
No, we don't have fox saddles. Sir, that's not a real thing. You can't saddle up a fox. You can't ride a fox. Foxes are wild little woodland creatures.
Sam, that's your name. I see it on your name tag. Sam?
Yes, that is my name.
Sam, the kind of thinking you're doing right now that I can't or there isn't or it's impossible, that's what's gotten you working at a Petco. All right? So let's find a fucking saddle so I can put it on my foxes.
Okay, first of all, it's logical thinking that I'm doing. And second of all, go fuck yourself for saying that to me.
All right, there we go,
Sam. This is like my, I have like three jobs. This is one of like three jobs I'm trying to work. I'm working through some stuff.
I didn't mean to hit this deep.
Oh, you hit it, though.
Oh, shit.
You said it.
We cut to a second job. Yeah, can I get a... I need more lids than this on my coffee. There's a river. Sir, I got a river that runs in my backyard. I want to make a raft out of coffee lids. How am I going to do that if you only give me one lid? You don't have raft lids here at Starbucks?
Raft lids?
What is
lids?
It, sir? Same?
It's Sam.
Why is there... What?
It's S-A-M, sir.
Sam.
Why did you leave the M off?
I don't have time to deal with your problems, okay?
We cut
obviously.
To his third job. Doctor? Doctor.
Yes. Yeah.
I know you're running to a delivery, but
yeah.
You know where I can find like a little hat for a newt?
A hat for a newt?
Yeah, that's around here somewhere, right?
No.
A hat for a newt?
No, there's first what's a newt?
A newt? What?
Is that like a
you're
weasel?
A doctor.
Is that like a weasel? Just because
doctor.
I'm a, first of all, is a newt a part of the human body?
No.
Of course not. I'm a doctor. I know the human body.
Newts are very basic things, though.
How do you spell it?
Doctor.
How do you spell a newt?
I have a feeling I'm not going to get a newt hat, but I feel
you're not
like...
getting a new hat at Cedar Sinai.
No,
that's
not
for
new.
Sure.
N-E-W-T. Newt.
N-E-W-T?
Yes.
I don't know what that is. Look,
what?
Ma'am, I pulled a double
you're
shift at Petco this morning. Then I went and I worked my job at Starbucks. Now I'm delivering babies here at Cedar Sinai. I don't need to know what a goddamn newt is. I just want to do my job.
Doctor.
Yes.
Doctor S? I don't
it's
know.
Sam. It says Sam.
Whatever. The baby's crowning. The baby's about to come out. They need you.
Ian,
she's crying.
So close, doctor. Get in here.
Okay, okay.
The mother's crying. It's a mess. We need your help.
Okay, all right. Here I am. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, breathe. You're doing great.
All right.
You're clearly dilated. It's crowning. The head's coming out. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and induce labor here.
Do you have a doctor? I'm sorry.
Wait, you're going to induce labor? I've been in labor.
She's been in labor.
For like 16 hours.
Are you going to take us in the past?
Do you have the brain of a newt or something?
Are you taking us in the past?
What is a newt?
What?
What is a fucking newt, lady?
It's like a little lizard. It's like a little
it's
serpent.
A lizard.
It's a reptile.
So just call it a lizard.
I said it's like a lizard. I'm not a doctor, okay?
But it's not a weasel.
What?
It's not a weasel. Is not a weasel.
It has no fur. It's slimy. It's like a gecko.
All right.
Closest to a gecko.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I had the baby.
Oh, right. Doctor.
Not now you didn't, lady.
What?
No,
what do you mean
we're
not
we're
now?
Talking about this. We're putting it back
what?
In.
Oh,
we're putting it back in.
Push the baby back in my
room. Yeah. I'll induce labor again. As soon as we figure out, show me a picture of a newt.
I don't have a picture of a newt, okay? But seriously, do you have like little sunglasses I can put on my baby when it comes out?
Yeah, that's our set. Thank you, guys.
Let's keep it going for James Mastriani, Anne Lane, and Josh Kovit. That's our show. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you, CISO, for help putting this event on. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, it's at CISO Show, S-E-E-S-O Show. Thank you all for coming out, and we'll see you next time.
Again, I just want to thank everyone who came out to the live show. It was so much fun. I love it. We're trying to plan some more of these in the future. And thank you those of you who couldn't make it, but still downloaded and listened to this episode. I know it's not quite the same as being there in the room, but hopefully it was still entertaining. And if you're just checking us out, please subscribe in whatever podcast app you use. We have a great bunch of episodes that are coming out that I think you'll all really like. So with that, I hope you have a great week. Take care.